This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I want you to get together.
This is the thing about dreams. Either you have them or you don't. Either you're part of the dreaming club or you're just not a part of the dreaming club. And if you do have the dreams, they're gone before you know it and that's it, done, you know, and not something that stick. But I myself am an avid dreamer. I dream a lot, like a stupid amount. My wife's sick of it. She thinks I'm crazy because I wake up and just tell her about the dream I had. And she's like, what on earth is going on in your mind? Where does that come from? And it's like, she can clearly tell I'm not making it up. Like, this just happened to me. I need to tell you about this crazy thing that just happened to me in my dream. I'm one of those people. So she's sick of it. She's sick of hearing about my dreams. Dreams are important. We need them. But we don't really understand them or what they're for or why they happen. By a mainstream secular standard, we really don't have an answer. It's just a thing that happens to us. And we think the function is data processing and formatting and compressing for the next day. And studies have been done that if you deprive people of sleep, they die. So it's clearly important. Like, I'm not laughing at people dying, that's horrible. I'm laughing at something that seems so trivial to us is actually so desperately important that it's life or death. You know, and I think dreaming is a huge important part of the sleeping process. And I think if you don't remember your dream, it probably means you had a good night. You had a good night's sleep. You're well rested. There wasn't much to process. You know, good, basically. But if you're somebody like me who's continuously thinking about and struggling with horrible concepts and thoughts and ideas with the weight of the world on your shoulder while there's things happening all the time that you're trying to battle or troubles in your life or you're going through huge transformative changes all the time, sweeping from left to right emotionally and physically in your work life, your relationship life, your family life, and there's just one thing after that tends to be when the dreams come, when there's turbulence and chaos, and these are the dreams you remember specifically. Now, I have that a lot, but I also just have dreams I have all the time, which are recurring. And this is where the more world thing really gets into it for me, because I've been there. I've been to exactly what we're about to discuss today and what this woman's about to discuss in this video. I've seen this place, and anybody who's subscribed to me for long enough, they know I've talked about this many times over years. Years and years and years. Even if you were subscribed to me from 2014, I probably kept talking about this. When I dream, I go to a place. And it's a very specific style of place. It's not always the same place necessarily, aesthetically. But the way it's built is the same. It's shop after shop, bar, airport, hotels, the insides of skyscrapers, of schools and hospitals and multi-complex, extremely built upon each other cityscapes that I explore room to room going through. And it's packed with people doing stuff. And I'm usually on some kind of journey or mission. And it's like every country that's ever existed in one place and every style of architecture that's ever existed in one place layered into each other and on top of each other in what can only be described now in a relatable way as an AI nightmare, but it's a tangible, real, complex structure of a place that goes off into infinity, basically. And it's inhabited. People are living their lives in it. They're having a good time. You know what I mean? It's like a laugh. It's never dark, or if it is dark, that's the ambience of the place. And all the lights come on. It's wonderful. And it's not like a bad place to be necessarily, but adventures are had there. And I go regularly to these vast, complicated cityscapes that I come back from and I'm like, I didn't come up with that. There's no way my mind created this scape for me to explore this city, this vibrant, infinite world teeming with life that I end up in. And the weird feeling is there's always a sense of familiarity with the place. I know it. It's like a home. It's a place that I belonged or I yearn to be back into in some ways. It's like when you've been away from your hometown for a long time, you go back there to visit and you feel that sense of belonging. Like, this is my roots. This is like, it's kind of like that, but it's also a strange place. It's like, I don't know it though. It's always changing. There's nothing constant other than the fact it's a multi-complex structured cityscape, but the aesthetics are always changing and the settings always changing. Sometimes it feels like I'm exploring an island in the Canary Islands, or sometimes it's like I'm in a 1800s Victorian city in the north of England or something like that, and it's cobbled streets, but the complexity and the vastness of these cities are grand. It's like I'm exploring the world, if the world was like a compact, condensed amalgam of everything in one spot. And it seems like it's been called Mall World now, and now everyone's talking about it like they're also going to the same place. It's happening to them as well. And that's odd for me. As soon as I heard it, I was like, what's going on here then? Like, I'm not alone. It's one of those I'm not alone moments, you know? So let's just play the video.
I'm an ex-witch who is now a Christian, and we need to talk about Mall World. Now, I don't usually go into different conspiracies like this, but wow, there is so much that is being revealed to me right now about Mall World, and I can't help but talk about it because it's very important. So Mall World is a place that is basically like an infinite mall that seems to go in infinite places in all different directions, where there's like a school connected to it, a hospital, an airport, all of these other kinds of places that are all connected to this Mall World place. And there are thousands of us that are realizing that we've all been to the same place. And you guys...
Okay, stopping that there quickly. So as you just said, she explained there, it's an infinite place, and she named typecasts of buildings, you know, like a hospital or a hotel or an airport, and it is like that. And this is scary to me, because this is how I've always described it to people. This is how I've always explained it to you guys on my channel who have been here for years, who have heard me ramble about this before when we talk about dreams. You know, I've explained this place before. And now here she is just saying the exact same thing. Maybe she's watched me say this before. I don't know, but it's eerily uncanny that the language she is using is exactly my language that you would describe this. And we have no connection. I don't know who she is. This is the first time I'm hearing about this person. I don't use TikTok. This was just shared in my Telegram today. But this sends immediate alarm bells. Okay, maybe there actually is something going on here then. So let's just listen to what she has to say about this place a bit more.
As someone who has opened herself up in different spiritual ways that were in witchcraft, who is now a Christian, there is definitely something going on here, and it's much more sinister than you might think. A lot of people are saying that this is a good place, that this is a manifestation of our collective consciousness, and that we should all be trying to find each other in Mall World, and you know, this.
So that's interesting, that take. That I've never really heard that people think this is like a manifestation of collective consciousness. Like, when everyone's sleeping, this is where all the disembodied souls go to hang out at night time before going back to the sleeping bodies in the morning to go off and work at Aldi or something. I don't know if that's really what's going on here. I've never felt it like that. I felt like the people there weren't really people. I've never felt like it's like they were NPCs in a video game. That's how I've always interpreted it and felt it. And it seems like some people have been taking it to mean something more than that. And yeah, it does seem like on the surface like a good place, but I will say I'm always in turmoil when I have these dreams. I'm always running away from something, or I'm in the midst of the middle of a war, and this is the setting for it in some way. Then the chaos ensues throughout the realm, you know, as I make my way through it, because I'm on a mission of some kind. It's always the context for me personally. But let's just continue to See what else she says to me.
This is so fun. This is so cool. But I want you guys to realize that there are different subconscious programs that are trying to infiltrate our dream realm. Our dream realm is a very special place that God can communicate to us. He can do healings with us. He can share messages with us. And there are evil forces in this world that are trying to hijack our sacred dream space and use it for their own agenda. And what essentially happens in mall world is that it kind of seems like a place that's very familiar to you. We've all been to a mall before. We've all been to school. We've all been to a hospital or an airport. And so the environment feels very familiar. However, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but...
So on that familiarity feeling, I can get what she's saying about the idea. Well, everyone's been to a school or a hospital or, you know, these are familiar places as kind of like archetypes, you know, the archetypical school. We know that feeling of what it is to be in those corridors with the lockers, shall we say. So that feeling there of, you know, familiarity is ingrained into us. I can kind of get that. But I also got another sense, like, these are places, these are ancient places that I used to walk in once upon a time. And I theorized a long time ago, I don't know if there's any basis to it, this whatsoever, but some of these cities I've been in look like very old, antiquitect out, old world buildings, cityscapes, you know, full of beautiful Greco-Roman revivalist architecture, you know, that type of stuff. And a part of me felt like I was going back to a place I used to be at already, maybe a past life in the millennial reign or something like this. They had more of an ancient familiarity to it than just you know, it feels familiar because I know I've been to many shopping malls before, you know. It didn't feel like that kind of, a lot of it felt a bit more deeply rooted than anything else, like echoes of a past life type feeling I got. But that's just the ramblings of the insane, clearly. Let's see what else she has to say.
The spiritual principalities that are behind that, and it's almost like there's a layer underneath that in mall world itself. Even though we're in a spiritual realm, what appears to be okay to the naked eye is not actually what it seems. So behind, you know, what feels very comfortable and normal and kind of mundane in mall world, there's something very eerie about it. And a lot of us have talked about this, you know, the infinite toilets, there's something definitely off about that. And the reason why is because underneath that, there is actually subconscious programming going on. So,
okay, first of all, I have no idea what she's talking about with the infinite toilet stuff. That threw me off left field when she first mentioned that. She brings it up again at the end and kind of explains it. But I think what she's saying is some people dream about just seeing an infinity of toilets, apparently. And it's a subconsciously, it's a bad thing. It's put there on purpose to desensitize and violate your senses in a way. And from what I'm getting at with her explanation here is, this is a realm that's created through programming of the world, through the media in the world. It's programmed us to have these specific dreams in these specific places to hold up an illusion, while underneath that, we're being reprogrammed with satanic doctrines and ideologies and demonized, I think is what she's getting at here. Listen and see if that's what she's saying. Maybe I massively interpreted this. Please also feel like commenting right now in the comment section or in the chat to tell me what you think she's on about. But here we go.
It's almost like a place where you can feel very safe in the dream realm to go explore. But behind that, there's a program. Think about MK Ultra, Monarch programming, all of that sort of stuff can also happen in the dream realm. And most of us have been exposed to this kind of programming in our life, whether we're aware of it or not. Whether you were in the Gateway program, or even if you were just involved in the media and watching basic movies and, you know, normal music and things, they all have this demonic, evil programming that's in it. It's very common for us to be exposed to this stuff. And so that's why so many people who, you know, believe that they were in the Gateway program have this experience. And so I want to share with you what happened with me. And what I just now realized was actually God showing me that I was in a program that I shouldn't be in. So a few months before I got saved, I started having these incredibly horrific dreams that were basically dream level within dream level within dream level, just like Inception, where I would go.
The Gate program she mentioned earlier, I think, was a program where they were going into schools and testing children to find gifted and talented examples of children in order to then use them for like ESP experiments in the future and other things like this. They were actually looking for a specific type of person through these tests, which they could then use for psychological tests in the future. And then she mentioned MK Ultra programming, the idea of using torture to break down people's mental states and then build them back up as a reprogrammable mind controlled slave. Obviously, that's well documented throughout history, though. Obviously, we should always question the validity of documents released by feds. So to what their actual capacity is, that's always worth mentioning as a caveat. But it seems like what she's implying is they're doing this in our dreams now. They're programming spaces for us to believe we're in, but underneath that, they're actually torturing our consciousness or reprogramming our consciousness with their own stuff through demons. And I think she's saying she broke through the illusion of the pleasant mall world and fell into the behind-the-scenes layer of what was really going on. And what was really going on is demons and controllers creating a false projection to keep you distracted while they're manipulating your consciousness behind the scenes. So let's just explain the story a bit more from her perspective.
A dream within a dream. And basically what would happen is I was in Mall World, and in the dream I would be in Mall World and I would start to realize that something was off, that I was dreaming. I started to notice the different glitches in the system, if you will. For example, I remember going on a staircase and realizing that I could actually hack the staircase in this really weird way where I would jump through it and realize that it was just a never-ending loop. And once I started to realize this, a demon would manifest and attack me, and then I would get taken a layer deeper and the dream would start over again. Then I would realize I was dreaming, and then I would get attacked, and then I would start over again. And this happened over and over and over again, to the point where I can't even count how many layers deep I went in. It was dozens and dozens of layers of dreams within dreams at this point, and I was going really, really deep into Mall World. And one dream in particular, I realized that I was dreaming, and I was like, I'm stuck in this Mall World, like I can't get out, and it kept taking me deeper and attacking me. And eventually, I found these three witches who were going to help me, and at the time, I identified as a witch, so I thought...
Okay, so before she gets into the witch story, let's just cover this idea that as soon as she realized she was in a dream, she suddenly saw demons attack her and reset her back into the dream. And I think she explained how she only started to get these demonic dreams and attacks from entities that were consciously coming at her when she was being saved, or going through this getting saved process, you know, coming to Christ period of her life, shall we say. And I can attest that when you are going through the motions of finally accepting Jesus into your life, that tends to be when the demons heavily come out and start attacking you. And I've shared my testimonies before on this channel of literally trying to kill you. Like, that's how bad it can get. Or the psychedelic dreams that come your way, and the sleep paralysis, and the I had a Hatman visitation, and all sorts of things started happening. It's kind of like contracts were getting broken and they weren't happy about it. And it's like, as a last ditch effort, it was, well, if we can't have you, nobody can. And the demons just try and kill you or torture you or mess you up and knock you off course as much as they possibly can. As they're losing grip on you, as the Holy Spirit takes over and you come to Christ and they lose that grip on you, I feel like that's when you get most attacked. They're lashing out. They're going for broke by that point, it seems, is like what's happening with the demonic realm. So I can attest to the story she's saying, that when she was waking up, no longer was Mall World as shiny and lovely as it used to be. She was seeing through it and then suddenly getting knocked back into it. It's like they were trying to keep her in this illusionary projection in her mind, but she kept seeing through the illusion, which is interesting, very interesting. But let's listen to her finding some witches in this Mall World to help her story.
This was again something that's familiar that you trust based on your own psychology. And so I put my trust in these three witches to get me out of Mall World, basically get me out of this program that I was realizing I was in, that I was stuck in. And we started going in these elevators, and these elevators were taking us different layers, but the elevator wasn't just going up and down, it was like hopping through dimensions. And I started to see the different technological spirits that were behind Mall World that were operating this whole program. And basically I started to see that we were hopping through different dimensions, but every time I would come out, I was still in Mall World. And it was like I was going deeper and deeper into Mall World with these witches that were supposedly going to help me. Now, eventually, they took me out onto the top of a tower, and it was pouring rain, and there was a helicopter coming down, and it was, like, super dark out. And basically, they told me, there was a rope that came down from the helicopter, and they told me, jump on the rope, the helicopter's gonna pull you out of this. And so I trusted them, and I jumped on the rope, and they started to, like, and they were gonna come with me. And as soon as I started to get pulled up, they turned and they like became super sinister and they were like, ha ha ha, we got her.
She should have seen that coming. I mean, I'm just listening to this story and I'm thinking like, come on, that's classic. That's like classic movie bait, right? That's what always happens. Like, oh yeah, we'll help you, sure. And then at last minute, oh, we were the bad guys all along. It's like, you should have seen that coming. Come on, come on. I saw it coming. Did you guys see it coming? I don't know. Anyway, let's keep listening.
And they didn't get on the rope with me. And it was almost like if I was going to continue to fly away with this helicopter, I would get stuck in the program forever. And I let go of the rope and I fell. I didn't fall back onto the roof. I fell to the ground. I was like falling down from the top of the skyscraper. And then I woke up. Now, as this continued, these dreams continued to get worse. And basically, these dreams did not stop until I called on the name of Jesus. Now, the first time that I called on the name of Jesus, I got taken out right away, and those dreams completely stopped. And this led me to following Jesus and completely being saved, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. But I want you guys to know, whether you're a Christian or not, please understand that if you are starting to experience a very dark presence in your dream, if you're starting to have sleep paralysis or anything like that, do not hesitate to call on the name of Jesus in your time of trouble. He will pull you out of it. He has the highest authority in the spiritual realm, and it will work. Like, I promise you it will work. There are so many people that have had this experience, and please understand that you do not want to be having dreams in Mall World. Please, like, consider asking Jesus to help you from this, because he's truly the only one who can get you out of this matrix. It is a matrix. It's a program that is infiltrating your dream space, where otherwise, if you're having Mall World dreams, God probably wants to speak to you in your dreams, but the Mall World program is like filling up all of the space and hacking the system so that God can.
Now, that's an interesting take, isn't it? It's like a firewall barrier they've created in your dream state to prevent God from communicating with you. Like, that's an interesting take. A very interesting take. Now, don't get me wrong. When I dream, I don't always dream about going to this cityscape, infinite cityscape. But I have been there many times. And again, it's always a battle. I'm always in the midst of a war or a struggle, or I'm running or fleeing or chasing after or something. It's always, I'm being kept busy whenever I go there with a life or death quest. I'm on a quest, you know, and there's nothing else to do but that quest. And because you're in that stupid dream state, it's like it's completely real and normal and ordinary. And of course I'm doing this thing right now. Why wouldn't I be, you know, because this is what I'm doing, and why should I question this in front of me? You know, that's what dreaming's like. And then I do have moments, and every time I've ever had a moment where I've realized I am dreaming, it does turn nasty every time. At least in the past, before I was saved especially, you know, I would have these dreams, and then I would consciously become aware of the dream, and I'd fall. It's a darkness. It would rip away, or I'd die, or I'd get killed by something like a monster or something. Or at one point, I plummeted into the ocean and got eaten by a shark. I could feel every bit of it, you know? It's horrible stuff like that happens. And it's like traumatizing you to wake up or get snap out of it, or again, just kind of wrench yourself awake and then go back straight back into sleep again. That kind of type of thing happens. But every time I've realized I'm in a dream, it gets dark. Pretty much most of the time, for me personally. I know some people it's completely different, and they start flying around and laser beams shoot out of their eyes and they take full control of the situation, you know. But for me, it was always more of a, everything around me suddenly reveals itself to be an enemy, a danger, a demonic, something dodgy, you know. I always get shocked awake by something terrifying. That's always been my situation, personally. But this idea that, well, you've been sent to this place so God can't communicate was interesting, because I've had many wonderful dreams as well, more so since being saved. My sleep is pretty sound. I sleep like a baby, and I can fall asleep like that. You know, it doesn't take me long to fall asleep at all. I don't need any aids or any help, music or screens or anything. I know a lot of people in our generation need that kind of stuff now. I can just close my eyes and fall asleep. And when I do sleep, I'm out. And when I dream, I'm not in danger rarely anymore. And the dreams I have instead are isolated, information-packed metaphors and messages for me that are very useful and helpful in my waking life. No longer am I the victim or running or chasing something, but I am the center of the narrative and the information is coming to me now. And I've had a lot of symbolic dreams that have referenced things happening in my real life that I could think were possibly from God, messages from God himself. It's the only thing I can interpret to them because they're so useful. So very useful to use and apply in real life and take the message from the dream and realize what I need to do in my waking life to work it out, you know. So maybe she's onto something. Maybe these more world dreams I had in the past were during a time where I was being blocked, I was being firewalled, I was being distracted in a sense, because there's nothing more tantalizing for the senses than an infinite city, you know, a city of lights, shall we say. Let's keep listening. What else are you saying here?
So please, like, consider calling on the name of Jesus when you're realizing that you're in mall world, or if you're having sleep paralysis, or if you're having dark presences in your dream. Jesus.
She's right about sleep paralysis too. Call on Jesus and it will stop. I can say that does work. If you're ever paralyzed and it seems like you're dying, call on Jesus. It will stop immediately and you will be saved from that situation.
This is the one that can save you out of that, and God wants to speak to you in your dreams, and I promise you it's not in Mall World. There is a realm of dreams that happen outside of Mall World, and it's so much more beautiful and it's so much deeper. I also wanted to say that with the toilet thing, the thing that I really am realizing about the toilets is that that is a program of perversion. That is a program of perversion and defilement that is infiltrating our psyche and going into our subconscious programming. So we've all had this dream of, you know, the infinite toilets that are disgusting. Why is that? Because it is a program that is getting sent out to the masses to infiltrate our subconsciouses with perversion and defilement. So call on the name of Jesus. He is the thing that can break you out of Mall World. God bless.
And there you go. So I'm not sure why she keeps using the phrase like that is a program. I'm not sure what her methodology behind that conclusion is necessarily. Who's orchestrating the program? Does she mean it's like a computer tech situation where they're projecting it into our brain through signals using towers perhaps, or something else, or maybe a foreign agent in our bodies now that can mechanically produce these programs in our brain that project into our consciousness? What does she mean by program? Does she mean it's been subconsciously laid into us through influence of symbols and images and signs throughout decades of media programming? I'm not sure what her context is for that phraseology, but it is clear what she thinks. It's all bad. It's all negative. It's to stop God from communicating with you in some way. An interesting take on the situation. I don't know if I fully believe her conclusions or I'm certain about that. I think dreams are very powerful. I think even God can create amazing cityscapes and places for you to explore to teach you a lesson too. I don't think it's a case of everything can be diecast as good or evil in that situation personally, but it's interesting to hear from my perspective that this is a phenomena that a lot of people have, that I have been describing for years. I remember those dreams. I still have images right now as I talk about it. I'm seeing flashes of the place and the places I've been and the things I've seen and the interactions I've had and the journeys, battles, the wars, the chases, all of that stuff. It is there. It's real. It's a real tangible place. Like, I've been to many times, and it's interesting that it's now got a name.
I want you to get together.